translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. This again, Yudhisthira talking to Narada, explaining why he wants him to become his Shiksha Guru. No one is superior to you in peaceful life and mercy, and no one knows better than you how to execute devotional service or how to become the best of the brahmanas. Therefore, you know all the principles of confidential religious life, and no one knows them better than you. Purport. Yudhisthira Maharaja knew that Narada Muni is a supreme spiritual master of human society who can teach the path of spiritual liberation leading to the understanding of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Actually, it is for this purpose that Narada Muni compiled his Bhakti Sutra and gave directions in the Narada Pancharatra. To learn about religious principles and the perfection of life, one must take instruction from the disciplic succession of Narada Muni. Our Krishna consciousness movement is directly in the line of the Brahma Sampradaya. Narada Muni received instructions from Lord Brahma and in turn transmitted the instructions to Vyasadeva. Vyasadeva instructed his son Shukadeva Goswami, who spoke Srimad Bhagavatam. The Krishna consciousness movement is based on Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. Because Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken by Shukadeva Goswami and Bhagavad Gita was spoken by Krishna, there is no difference between them. If we strictly follow the principle of disciplic succession, we are certainly on the right path of spiritual liberation or eternal engagement in devotional service. Narayana para vipra dharmam guryam param vidhu karuna sadavashantas tadvidhana tita pare. No one is superior to you in peaceful life and mercy, and no one knows better than you how to execute devotional service or how to become the best of the brahmanas. Therefore, you know all the principles of confidential religious life, and no one knows them better than you. So these are things that we aspire for. Karuna, to be kind. None of us wants to be a mean person. And there are some people who relish being cruel. There are people like that who are cruel for the sake of cruel. We call them demons. But generally, people want to be kind. We want to be known as a compassionate, kind, caring person. And Shanta, we want to be peaceful. Yesterday in India, I was speaking with one sannyasini of some yoga school. And I said, what is the purpose of your practice? She said, I want to become peaceful. So we would all like to become peaceful. We'd like to be unaffected by the ups and downs of material life. There's always going to be upheavals in material life, right? Matra sparsha stukantaya sito snastuka dukata. Agama payano nityas tam satiksha svabharata. Sometimes it's too hot, sometimes it's too cold, sometimes it's too windy, sometimes everybody is nice to us, sometimes nobody's nice to us. Sometimes our body works, sometimes our body doesn't work. Sometimes our mind cooperates, sometimes our mind doesn't cooperate. Sometimes we have enough money to buy what we want, and other times we don't have enough money to get even what we need, isn't it? It's just, there's so many ups and downs. Sometimes we're doing something that we like and we're good at. Other times we're doing something that's difficult and painful. And we would like to be peaceful. We'd like to have a state where we're happy regardless of what is the circumstances. Conditioned soul means that whatever conditions we are in are affecting us. We consider that our happiness is conditioned upon having external circumstances that are pleasing to us. So we'd like to come to the point that we're transcendental to our external circumstances, that our happiness is within. And dharmam guhyam, the secret dharma, the hidden thing. So I think that most human beings have a sense that there's some secret to life. There's so many books and videos and courses about learn this secret to life, isn't there? Discover the secret key that will unlock your success or your happiness or your relationships or whatever it may be. So we all want to find this dharmam guhyam. We know it's there, but it seems to be hidden. Rajavidya Rajaguhyam, also Krishna says. This is a secret knowledge. It's not immediately accessible. So we would all like to have these qualities of Narada, as explained in text 3, samadhibhi, not just shanta, not just peace, but total absorption in the spiritual. And we're not interested just in some neutral position where there's no material distress, but we want active happiness, which comes from samadhi, absorption in the real world of happiness. So how to attain this? How do we attain a position like Narada, the position that Narada exemplifies? So people try to understand, what is the supreme path? What is the supreme secret? How can I become peaceful? How can I be absorbed in something that's ultimate happiness? How can I be a good person? Through their mind and their senses, they speculate, well, maybe if I do this, maybe if I do that, maybe if I eat this kind of food, maybe if I do this kind of exercise, maybe if I study this course, then I will attain to the real secret. But unfortunately, our mind and senses are insufficient. Our mind and senses can give us knowledge up to a point, but not beyond that point. And even up to a point, we're never really certain about the information we get from our mind and senses. I mean, at least once a day, I think something is different from what it actually is. Don't we have this experience? We think somebody has said something, actually they said something else. We thought we put our keys over here, actually we put our keys over there. We're making so many mistakes of perception. And not only mistakes of perception, mistakes of interpretation. We think, oh, this is what this means. This person's like this. This is happening over here. And then we find out it's something completely different. And this is our problem even when it comes to gross sense objects. So using our gross senses to understand the gross material world is not sure. Five people can have the same experience and have different interpretations of that experience. Isn't that a fact? And we experience it. We have this happening to us on a daily basis, that we see how fallible we are. And if we examine in depth, we'll find that we're completely fallible. Our sense perceptions are all happening in the mind. You know, seeing doesn't really happen in the eyes. It happens in the brain. And how do we know that what we're perceiving is real at all? We don't know. So if this is our problem when it comes to gross objects, then how are we going to be able to perceive the most secret spiritual knowledge? How is it possible? I can't even have certainty. I can't even count on my gross and subtle sense perceptions. I might think somebody likes me, and actually secretly they're my enemy. Or I think somebody's my enemy, and actually they're my friend. Even subtle things, I can't count on them. I can't be sure of them. So how am I going to get information of even more subtle things? How am I going to know how to achieve these things? So the only way is to go to someone who actually has achieved them. To go to someone who's on that platform. And who's the ultimate person who's on that platform? It's Krishna. Right? Vasudevam Sarvamiti. He is everything. He's everything, he knows everything, he's everywhere. Maya tatamidam sarvam jagadavyaktamurtinam matstani sarvabhutani. Everything is within him, he knows everything. So he knows all the secret knowledge of how to become peaceful, how to become fixed in trance on the divine, how to be the kind of person that we want to be, how to attain the perfection that we're seeking. All right, but that just removes our problem one step, because, all right, if God knows, but how do I access God? How do I do that? I mean, Ishvara Sarvabhutanam Hridayesha Arjuna Tishtati. Okay, Krishna's in my heart, but it's very hard to access Krishna in my heart, because Krishna's in my heart is giving me directions, yeyatamam prapadyante tamstatayava bhajamyaham, according to my surrender. He's not Krishna is not going to be giving this most secret knowledge until I'm surrendered. So how do I know the process of surrender in order to get the secret knowledge? It becomes, we call, a catch-22. So I can't get this knowledge through my senses. Krishna has the knowledge, but I can't access him until I surrender, and I can't learn how to surrender until I access him. So I seem to be stuck in ignorance. I'm stuck without a way to get out. And here it says, apare, others. So what are the other paths? One can take the path of karma. Well, I'll try to do good actions. And first of all, how do you know what is good actions, what is bad actions? You may make a mistake and think what is good is bad and what is bad is good. Or even if you know you may make a mistake, like King Riga, one of his cows wandered off, and for that he had to become a lizard, because he accidentally gave the same cow twice. And karma is very slow. First you have to be a good Shudra, then you can be a good Vaishya, then you can be in different lifetimes. Gradually over many lifetimes. And being a good anything in the present Kali Yuga is very difficult. I mean, Krishna said 5,000 years ago, all material activity is contaminated, like smoke covers fire. What to speak of now? You can't even eat pure food, practically speaking, anymore. You know, even if you grow your own food, getting pure seeds and having pure soil and pure water for the seeds is so difficult. So to go by the path of karma, it's very long, very hard, very uncertain. Then there's the path of jnana. The path of jnana is you study the Upanishads, you study the Vedanta Sutra, and you understand, aham brahmasmi. And then you can access Krishna in the heart. But the path of jnana, you have to be in sattva guna even to take up the path of jnana. Therefore, people originally, they take the path of karma, come to sattva guna, then they take the path of jnana. By the path of jnana, they become convinced that they're the soul. After becoming convinced that they're the soul, they take the path of yoga and meditate on the soul. And then they can access Paramatma, and then they can get directions from Krishna, and then they can do bhakti. But how are we going to do that? That will be many, 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 many lifetimes. Many lifetimes as karma, many lifetimes as jnanis. Bahunam janmanam mante jnanamam mam prapadyate vasudevam sarvamiti samahatma sudurlabha. Many lifetimes as jnanis before you can come to yoga. Manushyanam sahasreshu kashchid yad disire yadatam apisiranam kashchid mam beti tatvataha. Even you become perfect. Only some people who become perfect after a long time will attain this dharma guyam, this secret knowledge. So it seems to be impossible. But it is not impossible because devotees like Narada are karunaya. They are very kind. Therefore, they come and give this dharma guyam, this secret knowledge of perfection, directly to us in the form of bhakti. That one can perform bhakti even if one's starting in tamagun or rajagun, even if one's not properly situated in varnashram, even if one doesn't have the mental focus to study the Upanishads, even if one cannot sit and meditate on the supersoul, one can immediately engage in bhakti. And this process is coming, as Prabhupada said, through the disciplic succession. Krishna, out of his kindness, he's instructing Brahma, who's instructing Narada, who's instructing Vyasadeva. And therefore, even though personally, on our own, our chances of accessing this secret knowledge, which is the key to everything we want, is practically impossible, by accessing the parampara, it becomes immediately possible. That Krishna makes the impossible possible. Like someone asked Prabhupada, can God make a stone so heavy that he can't lift it? And Prabhupada said, yes, and then he can expand his abilities and lift it. So this great material ocean, as the demigods pray in the second chapter of the 10th canto, is just this great ocean of uncertainty, of ignorance, of problems controlling our senses and mind, of material desires. Impassable ocean, but through the mercy of the devotees, karuna, through the mercy of the devotees in the parampara, if we hear from them, just to hear from them, and then follow their instructions, then the whole ocean becomes nothing. It becomes a tiny little puddle that's so small that you don't even notice that you're stepping over it. It becomes basically insignificant. So this is achieved by surrendering to the Parampara, who actually knows, this Dharma Guhya, this secret knowledge, not just in theory as something philosophical that they're positing, but as something that they live. So Yudhisthira is going to Narada because he lives in the heart of this secret knowledge, and he's exemplifying all the qualities that come from living there. So we need to connect with such persons. And this is a special feature of our Hare Krishna movement, because throughout the world there are many people claiming, yes, we can give you this ultimate knowledge, we can give you this ultimate perfection. But many of them are doing it on the basis of the senses and the mind. Or they are doing it through what was originally a parampara system that has become broken. Evam para para praptam imam rajasya vidut taklayana mahata yoganasta prantapa. These systems become broken. They have to be reestablished. And if we look at most of the religious systems of the world, we'll find that the modern practitioners have lost some sense of their ultimate goal and even their ultimate process. If you ask most religious practitioners, what is your goal? They'll say heaven or salvation. Very few of them will say our ultimate goal is love of God. Very few of them will know that God is a person, or that I'm not this body, or how the material energy works. The basic questions that a religious leader should be able to answer. Who am I? What is God? Why is there death? Why is there suffering? What is the ultimate perfection of life? How to achieve it? Simple questions they don't know the answer to. And they're not even relying on their scriptures. They're just concocting something. So most so-called religious systems in the world are like this today. They started out as something pure, but they became compromised. Or they're just complete concoctions. You know, somebody says, well, the religious people in the world are fighting. Let me harmonize the religions and create a new one. And they start their own system of religion. But Dharman tu Shakshad Bhagavat Pranitam. Actually, the science has to come from the ultimate absolute truth. It cannot be just created out of the thin air. I mean, if somebody says, well, you know, I've created my own system of medicine just by thinking about it. So who would go to such a doctor? I mean, some people would go, I suppose. There's always something in the newspapers about people who have terrible medical problems because they went to somebody cheap who didn't know medicine. Particularly this is a problem, at least in America, with plastic surgery. So, you know, somebody wants to be beautiful, but they don't want to spend the money going to a regular plastic surgeon, because in America we don't have free health care. So somebody advertises, yes, I can make you beautiful, only $100. And then they inject things like concrete into their body and close up the wound with super glue. I mean, I'm not making this up. They really do these things. And then, you know, imagine the problem if somebody injected concrete into your body. They just concoct their own system. So people concoct their own system of religion also. Oh, the Hindus and the Muslims are fighting, so let me create a new religion that's half Hindu, half Muslim. Let me create a religion. There's some school we went to here in this area where they have combined Sankaracharya's philosophy with Christianity. My own mix. So that will not help you. Just like many years ago in one temple, the cook made avocado halva. So it was not very tasty. So one is not going to get a proper satisfaction from eating avocado halva. Right? So this is what's mostly on the planet. There's very, very few persons on the planet who are teaching how to attain what we really want through an authorized process. And therefore we find that people are not achieving that goal. So if we want to have the best opportunity of achieving our heart's desire, of achieving peace and equanimity, beyond peace and equanimity, total samadhi, total absorption in the spiritual, kindness, access to the secret perfection, then we have to connect with the parampara. Now, connecting with the parampara is not just official. It doesn't mean only Well, I take diksha from someone who's in parampara. That's not sufficient. That's necessary, but that's not sufficient. Just like some liquid is necessary for cake, but it's not sufficient. If you just take milk or water, you don't have cake. You have to have other ingredients and you have to cook it. So actually connecting with the parampara means surrender. And it means particularly surrender of the mind and the heart. Like we're singing every morning, may my consciousness be purified by the words coming from your lotus mouth. So this means that we're regularly connecting. Should be constantly, but at least regularly. Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says in his commentary in Bhaktivedanta Sindhu, where Rupa Goswami says, always remember Krishna. Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says, for the beginner, this means at least regularly remember Krishna. So regularly to connect with the parampara, regularly to read Prabhupada's books, and not to read Prabhupada's books just officially. Okay, I've done my reading of Prabhupada's books. Or to read Prabhupada's books as a way of fortifying your army. You know, some people, they read the books. I remember I met one girl, and she asked a particular practical question of a number of persons, including myself. We all gave her exactly the same answer. She said, well, I'm going to read Srila Prabhupada's books just to prove that you're all wrong. So not connecting with the parampara like that, to prove that I'm right and you're wrong and I'm better than you, to start a religious war, whether it's with guns or whether it's with words. And not reading Srila Prabhupada's books just so I can keep my room in the Hare Krishna temple and get my prasadam. But actually reading to enter into the truth, the Dharma Guyam. So we should be, you know, connecting with the parampara, particularly through hearing. Particularly through reading Srila Prabhupada's books, hearing Srila Prabhupada's lectures, hearing Srila Prabhupada's conversations. I mean, it's so easy. You have the paintings there of Narottama Das Thakur, Jiva Goswami, Srinivasacharya, Shamananda Pandit. You know, for people in those days, and it wasn't that long ago, to read books was very difficult. You had to get a book handwritten on leaves. You know, how hard it would be to get just one book. You have to, some of the Brahmins in those days were just scribes, basically human copy machines. And why Brahmanas? Because the Brahmanas would be careful to do it properly. So just to get one book would be so difficult. And in those days, there was nothing recorded. If you wanted to know what someone said, you had to be there, practically speaking, physically with them, and take notes, or get the notes passed down, like Krishna Das Kaviraj. He wrote Chaitanya Charitamrita from the notes of Murari Gupta for the Adilila, and Swarup Damodar and Raghunath Das Goswami for the Majja and Anchalila. And Raghunath Das Goswami, after the disappearance of Mahaprabhu, he came to Radhakund, where Krishna Das Kaviraj was there. You see their bhajan kutirs are right next to each other. And they would meet every day for about 4 hours. So when we read Chaitanya Charitamrita, we're reading of Krishna Das, of course, Srila Prabhupada's translations and purports based on the purports of Bhakti Vinod and Bhakti Siddhanta, the writing of Krishna Das Kaviraj as heard through Raghunath Das Goswami, as heard through Swarup Damodar, and the activities of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So just reading Chaitanya Charitamrita, you're connected with the disciplic succession. And what the disciplic succession that is, that's Krishna in the mood of Radharani, through Swarup Damodar, who's Lalita, through Raghunath Das Goswami, who's Rati Manjari, down through our acharyas. But anyway, in those days, in order to record somebody's conversations, you had to keep a diary. And now we have thousands of recordings of Srila Prabhupada and dozens of his books. We have such amazing facility. You know, we may criticize the technological advancements of the Kali Yuga, but they also facilitate our hearing process. So what is the, you know, is Trudhikirti's book, what is the difficulty? I mean, we can, you know, you can buy a little MP3 player for practically nothing and put it in your pocket and be hearing. And then hearing in the mood of surrender, hearing in the mood of how can I purify my heart? How can I become more attached to Krishna? How can I become actually a servant of the Parampara? Connecting in that mood. And our chanting, our activities, our service, to have all of that connected with the Parampara in that mood. So if we want to get our heart's desire, if we want to enter this Dharmam Guhyam, the most secret, most confidential knowledge of what is reality, who am I, what is my occupation, what can I do to become successful, how can I achieve equanimity towards material circumstances and absorption in the higher realms of spiritual emotion, then we want to make sure the sources that we hear from are in Parampara. We want to make sure we're connected in a bona fide way to a real Parampara. That's the first thing. And I must say, this has become now a problem. When I first joined the Hare Krishna movement, things were very simple. You know, you just read Prabhupada's books, there wasn't anything else to read. So in one sense, now we have more opulence. We have so many literatures. And in the other sense, now we have to be more careful, because people are drawing from all sorts of sources, and sometimes they're not careful with their sources. So you can always ask, excuse me, where's that from? So you want to make sure we're actually connecting with Parampara, not somebody's speculation, not just, oh, somebody in Vrindavan told me this story. And that we connect in a mood of wanting to enter into Krishna's pastimes, wanting to enter into complete absorption, as we read in text 3, samadhi, in Krishna's name, form, qualities, and pastimes. That we want to ourselves exemplify what we're learning, not just to learn officially. So this we should do at least regularly, preferably always, but at least regularly. At least we have some time every day where we're connecting. You know, like some little device, you have to charge it, right? So at least we want to make sure our battery doesn't wear out. That we're connected with, the Prabhupada would compare connecting with Parampara as connecting with an electrical current. That we're plugged into the Parampara, that we're plugged into the actual current, not something phony. You know, not something that's like in India, you have to be careful. If you plug in the wrong place, the electricity is fluctuating, you can get 400 volts and burn out all your equipment. Right? I have actual experience of that. You know, going to stay in a place, turn on the lights, and they go pop. And you test the current, it's 400 volts. So one, we want to make sure we're plugged into the actual source. And then you want to make sure you're plugged into the actual source in a way that nourishes us. So if we do that, then we also become like Narada. Then we also become a representative of the Parampara, and we can give this most secret, most confidential, most wonderful knowledge to anyone. So it's nice to be back here at the Manor.